going to tell you something you have already before to prove how the world was before the flood. Would you believe me if I tell you that there is one single country in the world that they have a 365 days of blue sky? The city of Peru, in Peru, Trujillo, never rained 365 days of blue sky. During the night, they get the morning dew. It lasts until 9 o'clock or 9:30 in the morning, and then after that, it's a complete blue sky. During the winter, which is July for them, the temperature, it goes down to 70, 75. And in January, which is their summer, the temperature never goes over 85. Wow. There is no mosquitoes, haven't seen no flies. And it is interesting because most of the beautiful home which they built like in the square shape or other different shape, but the center of the house is always open. And they have like a palm tree in the center or something else there, flowers. And it's completely open. In fact, when I went there for the first time, the first trip I made there, they showed me where I was going to sleep. And I look at the place, there's a bed over there and nothing on top of the roof. I said to Brother Fernando, says, if it rains, what are we going to do here? Oh, no, he says, it never rains. Yeah, it never rains. Here I'm sleeping in a beautiful bed, and above me, there's the blue sky. He said, unusual, and this the way it was before the flood. It never rained. It was the mist from the sky that created the water for the vegetation. And this was going to be the kingdom. What is truth? But first I'm going to tell you a little story. There was a minister in the south that was speaking to the congregation, and right in the front there was this man with a little daughter. While the minister was speaking, the man was taking a nap, going up and down with his head. The minister became nervous, and he says, Mary, Mary, he says, wake up your daddy. Who, me? She said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. And I'm going to do my very best to keep you awake. What is truth? Brethren, it is a great honor for us and for all those people to view the many experiences of a life for the Master during ministry, and from each of his experience and trial, we may observe in him the many qualities of faith, courage, humility, and compassion. And because we, by the grace of God, have the truth, we should do our best to apply in our own life the many wonderful qualities of our dear Lord in our Christian life. And how thankful we should be for the relation of the truth. Remember, my dear brethren, we did not find the truth. We did not find the truth. It was the truth that found us. As we were in the world of darkness, confusion, And it was the Lord that touched your heart. Paul, remember what Paul said of Lydia from Macedonia? And the Lord touched her heart. And this is what the Lord did with all of us. He touched our heart. That's why we have the truth. And once the truth and love of our Heavenly Father was cemented in our heart, there is no evil force in the whole world that can touch us. Because of we and all those people are all always within the range of the Lord's vision. When the Christ likeness is deeply engraved in our heart and mind, our thoughts, words, and action are always in the direction of the truth. For us, the truth is not just a beautiful expression, but it is a transforming power that will help us to see the divine character, the combination of God's love, wisdom, justice, and power. But let us never forget, the light has many enemies. The truth which illuminated the Lord's people has many enemies detrimental to our spiritual progress. And the conflict between the light and darkness could be severe at the end of the age. Keep that in mind, brother. When our beloved master was on trial for his part, for his life, Pilate, the Roman governor, in the process of questioning him, came to the conclusion that Jesus was innocent and falsely accused by the religious leader, the Jewish leaders. He also was impressed by Jesus' character, and he did what he could to save his life. But we know that this was not in God's plan, because the Lamb of God had to die for the salvation of the world. Pilate asked Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am king. For this purpose I was born, that I should bear witness into the truth." Then Pilate said, "What is truth?" The question that we may ask is this: why Jesus didn't answer the question of the Roman ruler asked him, "What is truth?" Soon we shall see the reason. At the time of his trial of our Lord's in Jerusalem, the turmoil and the confusion created a situation that even the Roman soldiers could not control and maintain order in that city. What a strange event on the 10th day of the month. The people with joy welcomed Jesus as a king as he entered Jerusalem. And 4 days later, he was crucified. For 3.5 years, our Lord continued to proclaim the message of truth, hope for the people of Judea. But his message did not set up well with a religious leader. He was hated by them. A towards the end of his mission came the trial of his earthly life. First came the severe, crucial test in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the death on Calvary Cross. His message of truth cost his life. But our Lord's mission was to lay down the foundation and salvation not only for the believer, but also for the world, and even for those who crucified him. And how thankful we should be, dear brethren, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, what Pilate wanted to know as what was the truth, he was to reveal unto us. And this invisible power continued to eliminate the Lord's people in every corner of the world. The truth is simple and beautiful, and also is within the mental grasp of the Lord's people. And when the simplicity of the truth penetrates the heart and mind of the individual, it will satisfy the soul which human wisdom cannot match. But since we live in the very days of the world, it is very important that we stay very close together with the Lord's people to encourage one another. And if possible, let us break our alabaster box on love on the feet of the Lord's people. If this transformation of power and love will lead us to lay down our life for the brethren, let us do it. Because we are responsible for one another. To help our brethren, it's not an obligation, brethren. It is a privilege. And the measure of a love that we have for our brethren should never be when it's convenient for us, but at any time that it is needed. Jesus laid down his life for them. We must do the same. During our ministry, many humble people admire his love and his compassion he had for them. The Bible tells us that he healed everyone that came to him. Some of them really believed that he was a prophet sent by God or the prophet Elijah. Jesus did not resent the opinion of the people heard of him, but he was very much concerned if his disciples really knew who he was. And for this reason, he asked the question. This is the question. Who do you say that I am? He was the Apostle Peter, the one that always got himself into trouble. Peter quick answered the question by saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus said to him, "Blessed thou, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In this interested dialogue between Jesus and Peter, we have a beautiful and rich blessing for us and all who know the truth. Whatever the best idea the human mind can conceive in an effort to identify and understand Jesus' mission, we can be sure they are not motivated by flesh and blood. flesh and blood does not reveal the truth to anyone. It would have been very difficult for Pilate to understand the meaning of the truth, even if Jesus explained to him. But blessed are them to whom our Heavenly Father has revealed the true identity of Jesus and have a clear understanding of the real message of the truth. And what a privilege it is for us not only to understand the truth, but also to appreciate the position that Jesus occupied in the plan of God and his mission on behalf of us and the whole world. And all who have been blessed with the knowledge of the truth be able, like an artist, to look at the beautiful painting. And in that beautiful painting, we see Jesus' faithfulness in all his function. We see the beautiful spirit of love he had for the humanity, for the people he came in contact. And this should have an effect on our consecrated life. In him we see obedience, we see compassion, we see love for God, we see love for the brethren, even for the world, even for those who crucified him. We see the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, and we are being transformed into the same image by the Spirit of the Lord. How thankful we should be for the wonderful revelation of the truth. For us, dear brethren, indeed it is a precious possession. And let us keep that way. And because we have been blessed with the truth, with our vision, we see God everywhere. We see how he shaped our lives. The truth has changed our entire vision of God. Therefore, we're able to see his wonderful attribute and his loving compassion, not only towards us, but also for the poor humanity in despair. When we speak of the truth, we mean more than a certain feature of the divine plan. True knowledge begins with the mental understanding of the various doctrines of the divine plan. This is fundamental, and it is the knowledge of God. With this knowledge of the truth in our mind and our heart, we are able to see and interpret the various experiences for which the Lord permits to come in our lives. And each hardship for which we sometimes face will be a stepping stone to a greater knowledge of our loving Heavenly Father, and we also find a pleasant feeling in our meditation over him. None of us that we know had to face the experience of a little cross. Nevertheless, our Heavenly Father will deal with us as he did with Jesus by giving us the strength, the courage during our trial. But we must remain faithful and firm to the foundation of the truth and trust his judgment. Our trials are not necessarily in the nature of punishment, but they are part of our training for the future mission with Jesus in the Messianic Kingdom. But even our trials are evidence of God's love. Based upon this knowledge of the truth, we must learn to know and appreciate them. The power of the Holy Spirit has created us the desire and the responsibility to share the truth with others, as he did with his disciples the day of Pentecost. Remember when Peter stood up with 11, he lifted up his voice and began to speak, Acts 2:14. The truth, my dear brethren, is not to keep for ourselves. Oh, then we say, let others learn the truth in the kingdom, or take the truth with us in the grave. This could be a test for us. The Holy Spirit always points in the direction of activity in the service of the truth. And by the grace of our Heavenly Father, we have a wonderful message of hope, a message of a comfort that we can share with the people of the world in despair and without a hope. Sometimes we have the tendency to feel that we are not capable to present the truth to the world. Never feel that way. We should never feel that way. Even if we pass to someone a truth booklet, the Lord will do the rest. It could be that the Lord will touch their heart, as it did when He touches our heart. We have entered into the covenant with the Lord based on sacrifice, devotion, and dedication. At consecration to the Lord, we agreed to devote our lay down our life in the service of the Lord and the proclamation of the truth. And what is the truth of God's plan which characterized the message of God's holy prophet? The truth of restitution. The truth of a blessing. And this is the message of the truth, brethren. We have a wonderful message that we can share with the world. And when we have an opportunity, we should share this beautiful experience that we have. Give them the word of a comfort. And give them the word of a comfort with love. Give them the word of a comfort with love. Present the truth, my dear brother, and let our light shine involve some sacrifice and the flesh. As it was a beautiful expressed by the breaking of earthen vessel by Gideon's little band. Those vessels of Gideon's band concealed the light. Then they were broken. When they were broken, the light began to be seen. My dear brethren, the earthen vessel could be our flesh. Hold us back for the little sacrifice that we must make for the proclamation of the truth. As a new creature, we must be alert to detect any inclination of our human mind to find any excuse not to be zealous in the service of the Lord, the truth and the brethren. The fulfillment of some of the Bible prophecy in our time indicate to us that we are approaching the end of the present evil world. We can most say that we live and walk not by faith, we walk by sight. As a contradiction, additional making a calling sure, it is our responsibility to proclaim the message of the truth with any truth that we have in these modern days. We should proclaim the truth in the spirit of loyalty, obedience, and the spirit of cooperation with all the Lord's people. Let us use whatever talent that we have and use them to help our brethren in the glory of our Heavenly Father. Pilate asked Jesus what is true. Thank God that we understand what the truth is, because it was revealed to us many years ago, and has been to us as a sacred trust, and it is the most precious possession that we have. The glorious hope of the restitution blessing among the world, and the honor of seeing God face to face for all of us, is a great encouragement, an incentive to faithfulness. And so as we are now being developed, being prepared to live ready with Christ, sons of God, let us remain firm to the foundation of the truth as we have learned many, many years ago. As has been said from this platform, the truth never changes. What has been truth many years ago is still truth today, my dear brother. Lord, let anybody deceive you. We believe that the work for the proclamation of the truth will continue on until the four winds of the great time of tribulation will be held back until this servant of God are sealed in their forehead. Revelation 7:3-2. And in view of the dangerous world event which we see, and some of the Bible prophecy, it is indispensable that we remain firm upon the foundation of the truth which we were laid many years ago, because we know that the truth never changes. Yes, waiting on the Lord has always been a test of our faith upon the Lord's people. If we feel that there is some delay in the fulfillment of our hope, we must be patient. Patient. It will not delay anything, because every feature of his plan will be accomplished on time. Delay is simply a concept of human mind. And this way we feel in our mind. We think that everything should be quick, especially in this country, quick, 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 quick. The Lord will never change his plan for us. Whatever he has established, it will be accomplished on time as he has a plan. Shortly after Jesus' resurrection appeared to his disciples to affirm their faith and confidence in his Father's promise, and also to reveal them some picture of the divine plan. This was very important because they had labored with Jesus for 3.5 years, and in the spirit of anxiety, they asked Jesus, "Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" He assured them of the hope of the kingdom, but he told them very specifically that the season and the establishment of God's kingdom was in God's power. This is a good lesson for us, my dear brethren, not to speculate on chronology, because if we do, we can be very disappointed. Like some of the brothers before us in the past, some even lost their faith. Before the Lord departed from them, he said unto them, "You will be my witness unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and into the most part of the world, the earth." This was a commission given to the disciples and to his people during the Gospel age. A commission which is being given to you and to me. And we are thankful because through the revelation of the foundation of the truth, we have a clear understanding of the divine plan of salvation, not only for us, but also for the people of the world, even for those who do not believe in him. And what a blessing and privilege is to share the truth with others. For us, the truth is living reality. A living reality, a powerful inspiration when we begin to explain to others. It seems then that we appreciate the truth. We appreciate the value of ourselves. And in spite of our imperfection, we do our best to explain the truth to others. But don't let them worry, because God can use our imperfect testimony of the truth and transform it into a measurable power in the heart of those who have touched their heart. When we present the truth to the radio, television, or print and press, let us not be discouraged, thinking that the reason that people do not respond is because we do not use the right approach. This is not so. Out of all the great orators in the world, there is no one that could match the quality of Jesus. His wonderful words of grace and truth many times fell upon deaf eyes and ears, and we cannot expect to be any different. We shall continue to present the message of the truth with any tool that we are all to give us, and we will do just that with joy of heart. We have a beautiful example in the life of the Apostle Paul. On the way to Damascus to persecute the Lord's people, he saw a brilliant light that shone upon the brightness of the sun. He quickly recognized its significance, and then said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And by the grace of God, we also have received the vision of the truth. And there is something for us to do. In giving us the vision of the truth, the Lord expects us to be obedient for the promulgation of the truth. And our response should be similar to the response of the prophet Isaiah when he said to the Lord, "Here I am, send me." He didn't say, "Send my brother." He said, "Send me." My dear brethren, we live in a present changing world. And from the media, we learn the turmoil of violence all over the world. But we are thankful for the truth and the revelation of God's plan of salvation, not only for us, but also for the whole world. Soon this night of darkness and despair will be over, and the blessed kingdom of peace and joy will be established here on this earth. But since we still live on the side of the veil, we must be alert and take seriously the exhortation of Paul given to the Corinthian brother 15:58 to remain firm to the foundation of the truth and loyal to the God of the truth. In recent years, my dear brethren, we have seen many religious cults on the scene, and all of them very aggressive, to see who they can convince and collect money from them. In this last day, the devil is very much alive and very much active. He can take a refuge in the fiery element of superstition and ignorance. Paul describes Satan as an intelligent evil being with the faculty to transform himself as an angel of light. He can make a full use of the media, corrupt the mind of innocent people, and the television with the moral presentation of violence about every day. They bring pollution into our living room. The word of the Master recorded in the Gospel, Luke 3:21-28, painted for us a realistic picture in the time for which we will live. Let us read it. "And when this time began to pass," he said, "then look up and lift up your hands, for your redemption draws nigh." And what are these things that he was talking about? These are some. The social order throughout the world influence the mind and the heart of the people. And their determination for better condition, they demand their right. They cry for better condition and liberty. And this shall take a various form, in many cases leading even to violence. I see, my dear brother, with my own eyes in different parts of the country, the corruption, the violence, especially in South America. Life in South America doesn't worth a nickel, so to speak. Killing individuals for money, for anything, it doesn't mean anything. And when you consider, my dear brethren, there are 100 people, only 10 or 15 have a job, but the rest of them have no job. And they go on the street every single day looking for a piece of bread, looking where they can rob. This is the condition that we live in today. And I don't understand, my dear brethren, how some of our brethren, I love them, believe me, I love them just the same. In my heart, I love them just the same. I'll repeat that again. I don't understand some of brother believe that this is the kingdom. Brother, we got to be in out of our mind. If the only brother would see the condition in those countries. I saw kids, brethren, on the dump without any clothes. And when I say I'm talking about people 15 years of age without any clothes on the dump, like scraping. What have you seen, my dear brother, with these eyes? I can't even describe to you. Dangers everywhere. I was on the plane to go down to Curitiba, Brazil, 1 year to see the Fonseca and the brother in Brazil. A bomb was put in on the plane that I was sitting on. But thank God it didn't explode. So, these are the conditions throughout the world, my dear brother. How can we say that this is the kingdom? And bless our heart, my dear brother, that we have the truth, that we understand the truth. And we know that when the kingdom will come, it'll be a day of blessing. Do we see this blessing today throughout the world? We don't. Poverty, killing, violence, everywhere. And this is not the end. This is not the end. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. And we're so thankful that we have a clear understanding of the message of the gospel, the message of the truth. See, which the Lord has revealed to us, not because we're any better than the others, but because the Lord saw our heart. Because men failed to prove to be God's opportunity to get the nation out of this dilemma. Of the all millions of books in the world today, the Bible is the only word of God, the truth, which He presented to us a wonderful plan of salvation. Not only for us, that we have the truth, but also the poor humanity in despair. And in spite of the terrible condition that we see in the world, with our eyes of faith, we see the realistic visions of God's kingdom to be established in this earth. We visualize the wonderful change I have. We visualize the day when our loving Heavenly Father will embrace every single human being in His loving hands and care. And I thank God we should be for such a hope, for such a realistic hope. And we're so thankful for the truth, my dear brother. And you know, in spite of all some of the problems that we see throughout the world, we see the beautiful silver lining on the sky. We can visualize that beautiful kingdom where the Bible said that every knee shall worship Christ, worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. You know, the truth is not something that we feel selfish about. Not only we have to have the truth, but also we're so happy to know that under that ministration of the Lord's kingdom, the people of the world will begin to see our loving God and appreciate the blessing which He has in store for them. This alone should bring to us a comfort and joy. And when I see those conditions in different parts of the world, My brethren, my heart really got to pieces. And thinking, I looked up my eyes into the sky and pray, oh Lord, come and establish thy kingdom to take away this violence, starvation, cruelty, see, in many parts of the world. And we're so thankful for the truth. We're so thankful for such a wonderful hope. And so when Pilate says, as it is, what is truth? There are millions of Pilate throughout the world. Millions and millions of Pilate throughout the world. But they don't understand the truth. And bless your heart that the Lord has revealed to you and me the truth. And let us keep that precious in our heart. Because it is the most precious possession that we have in our life. And may the Lord bless you.